BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the Freak Show, Wild 94.1 Bay's Party Station. Right now, we have WWE superstar and ad author to the list. Titus O'Neil is here right now. What's up?
What's going on, man?
Man, dude, I told them we're like twins if you squint your eyes.
I mean,
not even remotely.
Work with me, though.
I mean, if they squint, have the same skin tone.
I said squint, though. And if they don't use their hands, because we don't feel the same.
My hands are bigger.
Can I just see your hands? Can you hold them up just for one second? Good Lord.
See, we same. Okay, we same. Yeah.
Only thing, well, he looks like he has a manicure. So,
we may be twins
in the hands.
Great. You know.
Man, Titus, it's good for you to be here, man. Thank you for coming in here.
Man, thanks for having me on.
I told them that I wanted to talk to you. I've known you forever, but I feel like I didn't know enough when I saw you at Dancing with the Stars, and you knocked the room on their ass, like with your story. And you were moved to do that just off the cuff.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't plan on getting up.
No, not at all. I just got back into town and rushed over. Everything I said that night was the truth. Like, I literally went up to the game, rushed back to get to the event, because I had been wanting to support Julie for a while, and I'm normally out of town. And I was like, well, Chad's going, so I got to go, because Chad didn't go out to me. And Chad Chronister.
Big shout out to Chad Chronister, Hillsborough County Sheriff.
Great friend of mine, but more importantly, a great human being. And to know that, you know, guys like him and George and Stewart and just the whole room of people that were going to be there.
It's a heavy room, man. Yeah. It was a real heavy room.
And so just sitting there and, you know, I knew the work that, I've known of the work that Julie's been doing for years, and we've always talked about connecting and doing some stuff together. And I've always supported her from afar as well, and in whatever capacity I could. I just have never been home on a weekend to actually attend the event or participate, because I like to dance too. So,
that would be fun to see.
Yeah. Yo, you would pick up anybody.
Right.
Like, it's going to be a lot of lifts in this one, right?
As long as they sign a waiver, I'm good. But yeah, I was just sitting there listening to the stories of the people, just all of them. And I'm like, you know, this is like my mom and my story over and over and over again, but some to even more, like, more gruesome, you know? And then to see the
survivors.
The survival.
Right.
Of the tragedy.
Like, the sun is out on the other side.
Yeah.
It was like, you know.
And, you know, to see one start open up her own store and, you know, doing well. And then another one who I ran into like a week and a half later at an event that, you know, I ended up speaking at and didn't know that she was going to be there. But the deputy that, or the police officer.
That is now a deputy for Hillsborough County.
Right.
Yeah.
She was at the event. And I'm speaking to these kids, you know, just about the situation they're in now and sharing my story, and then see her in the back. And I'm like, you know, I need you to come up here.
Yeah.
You know, and I want you to tell your story. And she told her story and just knocked did the same exact thing I did. And she was like, you know, well, I wasn't expecting to speak and this. And I was like, just tell your story, you know. And
that's when it comes from like a real space, because it wasn't prepared. It was totally eloquent. And it was really naked, because you talked about me, and you talk about it in the book as well. I was interviewing YBN Cordae, who your kids will tell you who it is.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing him, and I was like, you know, he was born to a 14-year-old mom, a 16-year-old mom, single and poor. And I was like, do you know what? Statistically, you're not supposed to be here.
Right.
I could say the same thing for you, because you weren't supposed to be here.
Worse. My mom was raped at 11 years old and had me at 12 years old. against the wishes of a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, her decision obviously, you know, didn't put us in a better situation as a family. We started in way behind the eight ball in government housing. My mom and I didn't find this out as until I was like writing the book that, you know, there was a time that my mom, my mom actually gave me up to the state for a brief period of time because she was struggling as a teenager.
Right.
And then I started thinking back like, man, I remember like eating fish and grits in St. Augustine at my grandmother's house. But didn't realize, like, I wasn't there because I was visiting. I was there because I was not able to be with my mom.
Right.
So, like, writing this book gave me an opportunity to kind of find out things and piece things together to help me understand my past better, but also, too, to help me kind of continue to put a staple in why I believe in transformational change and not transactional change. We do a lot of transactional stuff.
Right.
In this world, and in especially in the underserved communities, there is so much inconsistency at home, and then there's inconsistency at the school because the school they go to is an underperforming school, and right. It's a high stress school,
and no connectivity between home and school.
No connectivity between home and school, and then the teachers are leaving, and then at home they're seeing one guy here one minute and their mom not here and their dad not here or whatever, and there's just so much inconsistency that when you finally tell a kid, hey man, I love you, yeah, but for how long?
Right. They have no faith in what they're going to get back from that love.
Right. So when I talk about the conversation that I had with Patrick Minot from the Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch, at 12 years old, he said, you know, there is no such thing as a bad kid. That's where that title came from.
And that's the turning point.
Correct.
Because, I mean, when I was
looking at
this.
Well, the second part of it is, you know, he told me, you know, I was supposed to get kicked off the boys' ranch. I had just signed a contract.
Wow.
Saying, and was fighting right after.
Yeah, 30 minutes after.
Wow, you're fighting nonstop?
It was so bad that it was like, okay, you're going to get put out of here. Yeah. Sign this agreement that you won't.
Will not fight. Again.
And then right after the ink dried, you scrap it again.
Yeah.
So that now,
which is crazy because now I get paid.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, totally full circle. We're going to talk about this full circle now. Yeah. I mean, buckle up. We're talking to Titus O'Neil right now, WWE superstar and author of There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid. But when you got called to the office, you thought you were leaving the ranch.
Oh, I was out of there.
Yeah.
There's no thought at all.
Because it was done.
Mr. Minogue said, I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but I'm not going to send you home. And he said, I want you to look at me. And I had my head down because I knew I was gone. And he said, I love you and I believe in you. At that point, a lot of people had told me that they love me, but then turn around and beat me, abuse me, cuss me, tell me I'll be dead or in jail by the time I was 16, etc. Nobody had ever told me that they believed in me, that I could do anything.
And that sparked it.
So that didn't change my behavior instantly, but it did change my mindset that, like, I need to start believing in myself. And I need to start putting forth a better effort to understand that, like, I am capable of doing something if I just work with these people.
Right. You know, like, there's something that I can gain from these people.
Yeah.
Like, some knowledge. Some
They weren't telling me stuff that I didn't, as an adult, I wouldn't have to do. Like, hey, man, be to class on time. I just refused to go to class on time.
Mm.
Hey, clean your room. Now, you know, I just have to be in a clean environment. I can go into certain areas, but I can't stay there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Be respectful.
This is an incredible thing, though, because it didn't change your outlook, but it set a seed. It planted a seed. It sparked. It grew into everything we're seeing with you now.
Yeah, I just learned how to take all of what I already possessed and use it for the betterment of myself. And once I learned how to do it for the betterment of myself, then I started learning how to do it for the betterment of others. And I've been doing it since I was 13 years old.
It's an incredible story. We have to talk a little bit more about this. I want to take a moment here to reset and come back because we're going to talk about the spring commencement. because you're doing that. Which is, I mean, this is all like full circle, and it's so crazy to see this. So we're on with Titus O'Neil. It is the Freak Show, Wild 94.1 Bay's Party Station. We're facing off right here with the man, Mr. Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar.
He wants to take a side-by-side photo with you and him.
Yeah. Hey, it's like we're looking at the mirror.
Yes, exactly.
You know damn well I know I don't look like this man. Yeah. Like, he goes to that place.
He's been saying
that place,
it, though.
That place, the gym.
Oh, like, the gym, yeah, yes. I don't do that. Yes, yes.
Like, well, there's some people that don't do it, too. They just eat well. They eat a lot better than I do, and they look like they go to the gym.
That's true.
But you burning through it, though. Whatever you eat, it burns through that.
Yeah, I like to eat. Everybody, if you follow me on social media, you know I like to eat.
Now he's in because first of all, we've never got a chance to sit down and chat, but he's got a great book. There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid. And we were teasing that you're going to be doing the spring commencement in UF. He's a Gator, of course. He played and went into the NFL arena football and everything else. But to go back on that stage, you've been back hundreds of times. I've seen you fly all over in and out for the games. But to go back up there, literally like full circle to where, take me into what you're feeling about this kind of thing. Because you walked onto that campus as a freshman.
Right.
Not knowing much, but knowing that was at least a plan.
Yeah, it is a very full circle moment, and it will be, simply because, you know, number one, I mean, I hate to say this on air, but I actually grew up like a Florida State fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You have a fan right there.
I'm glad you said that right there.
I know. but as I got older, I got wiser.
Garrido is so happy
right now.
But the reason why I was a Florida State fan, number one, is because I went to high school in Live Oak, Florida.
Okay.
And we only had like two stations at the Boys Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And Florida State sports was all that played.
Yeah.
And they were winning at the time.
Oh, yeah, that was a major time back then.
I mean, they were in the ACC when the ACC was not very good. It's very good now.
Yeah.
Well, Clemson's very good. But then, you know, it's to me, like, making the decision to go to the University of Florida was all about academics and partly about athletics.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd always been told, like, you go to the University of Florida, that's the top 10 school academically, you're going to get a job. And all I wanted to do at the end of the day was be able to be in a position where I can work and have a pretty good living.
You weren't looking for the limelight. You weren't looking for the fast path to the limelight. You were like, I'm going to go and back and be I can work.
I was under the impression. I was number one recruits in the country. Uh-huh. So I felt like if football is for me, then it's going to be for me no matter where I go to school. But I just felt like at home at the University of Florida. I felt great at Florida State because I knew a lot of people that went there.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt greater at the University of Florida because I just felt like there was this energy about Coach Spurrier, number one, and then him unretiring his number 11 jersey for me to wear there. And then guys like Kevin Carter were there, who, you know, I still to this day am friends with, close with. But I looked up to Kevin, you know, not just because of how great he was of a football player he was, but also, too, this dude was a pharmaceutical, you know, he was a pharmaceutical major.
Yeah.
And comes from a family that believes in education. And he's always been a scholar athlete. And I'm like, I want to hang out with that dude.
Yeah.
I want to do what he's doing.
I mean, for real.
You know, and I want to play for Coach Spurrier because Coach Spurrier's got this swagger about him that, you know, hey, we're going to win. Mm-hmm. And you want to come here because we're going to win.
Now, walking out on that stage as a commencement address, because it's such a weighty thing. Like, I mean, you know, you went through it twice. I mean, you got your master's and you got your bachelor's. So,
well, for, you know, to be a kid, to get to what I was saying is that, you know, to be on a stage, to be in that stadium to play football or to watch football or Gator Growl was one thing. But to actually be a kid that was told he'd be dead or in jail by the time he was 16.
Yes.
And an underperforming student that didn't care about school to being a, you know, scholar athlete, both in high school and in college. And now being able to go and motivate and encourage those that have came behind me in front of their moms, dads, grandparents.
Like that moment is in front of everybody who's important to them.
Correct.
You now have the launch pad for them leaving their college world.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get to hear the words from Titus O'Neil.
Right.
That's incredibly, insanely major right there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm always 100% transparent, so I'll be that way, especially on this show. There are so many stereotypes that go along with being an African-American male.
Absolutely.
With being an athlete, with being a person that's, you know, got certain platforms that's supposed to be selfish and all about promoting themselves and doing this and blah, blah, blah. And
or just the physicality of it, the big, muscle head.
Yeah, muscle head.
Right,
yeah,
not supposed to have anything
all these
going
stereotypes,
on. Right.
You know? And now I get a chance to speak to probably a whole bunch of people that were in this situation, not just because they're African-Americans or Latinos or whatever, but because there are stereotypes that come with people that have money and come from money. Oh, well, your life was easy. No, it's not. There are a lot of people I know that are very wealthy that have a lot of issues.
Right. Absolutely.
Everybody has issues. So I get a chance to speak to a bunch of great human beings and promote the fact that you got an opportunity to go out and create more great human beings, because now you have a education behind you. You know, some of you are straddled with a little bit of debt. Some of you are straddled with a lot of debt, but you have made an accomplishment. There are a lot of people that are in that crowd or will be in that crowd that come from similar backgrounds as me. They're going to be first generation college students, college graduates in that crowd.
And to be able to support their family, be able to spark their
future. To be able to spark generational change.
Absolutely.
And I have a platform now because of the Florida Shares Boys Ranch, the Boys and Girls Club, the people, the teachers, the mentors along the way that gave me that opportunity to make transformational change. They made transformational change in my life. Now I'm able to do transformational change for other people's lives and do this on a platform in which a lot of times, we celebrate and we promote, but how many times are you able to encourage and divert people to what's right in the world instead of getting them to focus on all the what's trending now? Because what's trending now will change tomorrow and it'll change. Yeah. But like the greatest trend we can all follow is being a good human being. And if I don't do anything else at this commencement speech, I want them to understand that how many great human beings helped get me to this point in my life. And then they'll reflect back on how many great human beings got them to that point that they are in their life.
And keep gathering them.
This, because of this accomplishment, what they will be able to go out and do to continue that cycle of creating great human beings. There'll be people that are teachers, doctors, lawyers, attorneys, etc. The list goes on. And they'll be able to utilize this education that they just busted their behind for 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Yeah,
some people
on that thank you, Lordy, plan instead of cum laude. Yeah. It takes
some
a minute.
Some people are career students that finally decide, hey, maybe I want to change my career.
And now I didn't hear from Titus.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in this whole thing about this whole transition from where you were, and I remember Allison Evans on Facebook said he has to talk about the impact of the youth ranch. And it's like to hear you talk about it, their father figures and their people who have kind of steered you along the way to get to that part of UF had to be a huge flip. Forget the WWE and author and great father, to get to that point was a huge transition. There are people out there who have children who, as we say, there's no bad kid, but in your view, how should they be approaching these kids to get them on the right path?
So for me, and the reason why, because I asked Mr. Minogue at the time from the Boys Ranch, why, how can he say that? I've been told that I'll be dead or in jail by the time I'm 16. How can you say that there's no such thing as a bad kid when I'm sitting in your office getting ready to get sent home? And he said, I'm not going to send you home and I'm not going to give you the answer to it because I truly believe in my heart that you're going to turn things around and you're going to come up with the answer for yourself. And I have. So my answer to when people say, how can you say that, is that you have kids and people that are in bad situations, in bad environments, making bad decisions, and having bad outcomes. You take those same exact people, you put them in a good environment around great people, they have a greater chance to succeed, which will ultimately give them a greater outcome. That's what happened to me. I see it now, and I've seen it more so than ever, especially if you take a kid from an underserved community, and we have these pockets of places like this right here in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Academy Prep. You know, all these kids live at or below the poverty level. They come from 85% non-high school graduation rate to becoming 98% high school graduation rate and 80%, well over 85% college graduation rate.
Good in, good out.
Right. They took them out of a bad situation, whether that situation was a learning environment or whatever, put them in a good situation around good people, and they had a greater chance to succeed.
Yeah, you bear fruit from what you put into it.
So if we pour more resources into making these situations that these people are quote unquote bad, you know, I'm not going back to this just because Chad Cronister is a close friend of mine. I'm going back to it because law enforcement saved my life. And it just so happens to be the Florida sheriffs of the state saved mm-hmm. my life.
Right.
But then if you go, like I've gone, over to the jail and see the resources and the work and the programs that are being put in place, not just for those that are offenders from, you know, petty crimes or whatever, but we got veterans
mm-hmm.
that have fought for this country, that they made a mistake. Some of them, you know, I can attribute a lot of that to what they went through fighting for our country.
The PTSD and everything.
Correct.
They go mm-hmm.
And there are programs that are in jail that are putting them in a position where they can learn a trade, they can complete their education, they can get mental health counseling. They have a whole pod there dedicated to veterans. It's completely opposite of what you see on TV and what I was expecting going in. It's open. There's no bars and people clanging on the...
Right. You know,
like the movie, yeah.
Let me out!
Yeah.
And these people are all quote-unquote criminals. And if you go in there and you have conversations with them, I had a guy, and his name just so happened to be Chad, that articulated every single thing that was right and wrong and how they can make it better. Because Chad Cronister asked, hey, what else can we do for you guys to make it better?
And no one had ever asked before.
No.
At least not him.
No. Yeah. Well, I think that the deputies had asked too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, well, these beds, you know, because of all the injuries, I've had several surgeries, this and that, our beds, you know, that I know a lot of us would love better beds.
Mm.
Next day they had 1,200 new beds in the entire jail.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
You see, you go into the kitchen. I mean, hell, I might go over there and
get some food.
Eat myself. You know, just because it's a learning, it's a vocational.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, they're speaking a lot to, you know, the people who are making up the sheriff's force, too, because they've changed the qualifications to be in, you know, now you don't have to have the degree because who's better to communicate, you know, and police the community to protect the community of people of the community who want to be there. So if they're going through all of this,
there's a sergeant,
they fixed it.
Yeah. Like, there's a sergeant with a hell of a story. Peanut, Garfield, Sergeant Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't graduate from high school. And she's got just a crazy story. I had her tell the story to some of our high school athletes at a leadership conference. She didn't graduate from high school because of the issues that were going on at home. She ended up going and self-educating herself, then going to high school, then graduating from USF. She has a master's degree. She's been mm-hmm. working for Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office now for maybe 18, 19 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So even so, people don't understand. The reason why I'm saying that is people don't understand that law enforcement officers are human beings too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they have families and they have stories. And those stories, a lot of law enforcement officers that I've come in contact with, which is why when I see, you know, one or two misappropriations of power within law enforcement throughout the country, I don't be like, oh, there we go again. The system's jacked up. Yeah, the system's jacked up. It's been jacked up for years. It's never been designed for certain people. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that. It's like when athletes go out and do something stupid, you know, oh, here's another dumb athlete just doing such and such. Well, why don't you celebrate the fact that there are tons of athletes out there
that don't,
doing
that
right.
don't,
yeah.
and are giving millions of dollars back to their community and changing thousands of people's lives. You don't celebrate that stuff and you don't, you want to harp on the small percentage. This is why I don't do politics or even organized religion. Cause I just, to me, it's like, I know ignorant Democrats and I know ignorant Republicans. I know ignorant black people, white people, Hispanics, etc.
Yeah.
I just try to focus on the issue. What is the issue for me?
And what's the fix?
Right. Yeah. And throwing
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Money at a problem is not going to fix it. Throwing resources and actually getting people to get. So, you know, there are certain pockets in Tampa Bay area, period, that there's been millions poured into the, you know, well, we gave them this and we gave them that. But did you actually go in and like set up a culture that they learn how to appropriate these funds the correct way, teach these families financial literacy?
So, and then so it's generational.
Where is the baseline of your giving? Where is the baseline of your advocacy? Because if it's not all based on transformation, then you're just throwing stuff into a black hole.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's no change.
It's about culture. To me, it's about culture. The Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch was a culture to me. It was I went from smelling, you know, train smoke and truck smoke to smelling cow manure and horse manure first thing in the morning. I was in the city, then I got moved to Live Oak, and I'm smelling hay in the morning, and I'm baling hay, and I'm artificially inseminating cows, and I'm fixing tractors, and I'm doing all this stuff. And the culture promoted me to learn how to work.
Right.
And once I learned how to work, it's like, oh, well, people say, man, I don't know how you get up every morning and work out at 3 and 4:30 in the morning. I know how to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been doing this since I was 12 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And also as a black man being as comfortable, and I say it because I use the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office honorary deputy program when I speak at schools, and I open up my wallet. I'm like, how many guys you guys are cool with police? And they're like, I don't mess with 12. Yeah. And then when I open my wallet, and they're like, wait, you cool with them?
Yeah.
It's not just them. I will throw this in your face.
What? Go ahead.
I am the only person in the history of this whole entire area that's an honorary deputy and an honorary police officer from TPD.
Yeah.
So I told
Too bad. But I mean, for them to see that comfort and that connectivity, they realize that, man, this, it can't be that bad. Or, okay, it's not all stacked against us. Or, why is he down with it? Maybe it's something I don't know. Again, judging a book by its cover. And when I use that, it's just to open up a conversation with them saying, listen, I've not done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. If somebody breaks in my house, I'm calling them. I'm not calling y'all to come show up and help me get my stuff back.
Yeah, y'all, messing with y'all, we all going
to
be
in jail. You know, so, I mean, it's a great story. I know people who have seen that you were going to be on this morning had millions of things. They're texting in just all of these comments about, is he going to run for office?
No.
No politics, he said.
I will not. For FC, I don't don't know if they got FCC violations, yeah, so I won't say what I really want to say.
But hell no.
Yeah. Hell no. I will not run. And people ask me all the time, I have no desire to. I ran for vice president of student government at the University of Florida, and I won. And I saw firsthand, because if you look around the state now, you know, we got Ashley Moody, we got Nikki Free. Like, all these people work for me.
Yeah.
At when I was vice president of student government.
Wow.
And they're involved in student in politics. And I love them.
Yeah.
You know, like, they helped me change the culture the way I wanted to change it at the University of Florida. But I also saw the negatives of, you know, you got to raise X amount of money. And,
right.
You know, like, if I'm going to raise some money, I'm going to change some people's lives. I don't care about no signs and all right. this and that.
Fixing all the operational stuff and whatever.
And then, like, the minute if I come out and I say I'm a Republican,
you make half of the world mad. Mm-hmm.
If I come out and say I'm a Democrat,
half of the world's mad again.
So you pissed off at me just because of a political affiliation. So if I come out and say I'm a Christian, like Kanye West, this dude's being crucified for saying he loved Jesus. Like, dude, I Muhammad Ali went through the same thing when he said, I love Allah. Like, and then years later, so you get ostracized by the very community that is supposed to embrace you.
Support you.
And support you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like politics has been so divisive. No matter.
Politics, religion, everything. Labels. It's just labels
it's so
in general.
Divisive.
Yeah.
And I'm about bringing people together.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if we're cool and knowing that we're going to go attack this issue, I don't boycott. I'm not a protest guy. Because neither one of those things have been beneficial in the last 20 years.
Right.
They worked in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. And they made transformational change. People got the opportunity to vote. People got livable wages, et cetera, this and that. All these things, you know, integration of schools. All these things that, you know, were monumental. I'm not finna go out and, you know, boycott law enforcement or boycott the NFL. Like, they don't care. At the end of the day, they still gonna make money. They do care, but they don't. At the end of the day, because it's a business.
And
business,
you can make more with the connection and communication.
Yeah,
with
if you so if you doing. Feel so strongly about like the justice system, and you feel so negative about like law enforcement, then go to your local law enforcement agency.
Show up.
And start saying, hey, what kind of programs do you guys have? I want to help. Do you have a big brother, like a mentor program? Or do you have an at-school program? Do you have and I guarantee you that once they find out, oh, man, like the sheriff's office has a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, I can go and mentor and do X, Y, and Z after school and change lives and work with law enforcement that way. I can go over here and do things with the TPD or Pinellas County Police Department or Pasco or whoever, and there are programs out there, and they're working with the homeless, they're working with veterans, they're working with all these things that you say you believe in, you say you stand up for. You get pissed off because Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and you make it about the military, but yet I see you drive past people that fought for this country and got a flag in their hand, and they're homeless.
And you have no time for
them. And you ain't got no time for them.
Yeah.
But yet you want to get mad at a person you ain't even never met.
It's true.
I mean, and I'm not standing up for what Colin Kaepernick said, did, or whatever.
No,
I'm just saying you jump on a bandwagon about something, but you have stuff happening right here in your own backyard.
And it's still about the issue. You said it's about
it's the issue
and the solving of
issues. So if your issue is something that deals with military and you know you're that patriotic, then when they're doing the national anthem, quit drinking your beer and hanging out in the hallway, and go out there and salute the flag if you feel so strongly about it.
Well, yeah, you have to step up for what
and then
it
not
is
only
and show
that,
up for what you believe
and then
in.
Not only that, after the game's over with, and you see a veteran wearing a hat, go out there and thank them for their service. Because I'm telling you right now, as big as I am, as strong as I am, as much as I will fight for whatever, I will never put on a uniform to fight in the military of any branch. because that's not for me.
Right.
It's not that I respect the hell out of what they do, because they're doing a job that I wouldn't do and a lot of other people wouldn't do. You telling me I'm going to wake up every morning as a law enforcement officer or as a firefighter with the risk of never seeing my kids again?
Every day.
Every single day.
My dad was a captain of the fire department, and he used to always tell me, you have to understand, when there's a drama and when there's an emergency going on, people are running away from it, and we are adamantly running towards it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, every time you hear those sirens, realize there are people running away, but there are also throngs of people who I live with and love who are running into it. And that was my twist, where mm-hmm. I pivoted, where I was like, yo, Pops ain't just going to work.
Yeah, life changing.
Like, he's going in buildings today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and you don't know when that day is going to be that you're going in to save somebody's life only to turn around and get shot because somebody else was on drugs or, you know, they were angry at them. So you got to die. You got to die. You got to die too.
Yeah. I mean, I've always told people that you respect and you love the people who you know. And so mm-hmm. you should always get to know somebody who's a first responder.
But how about respecting those that you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, if Mr. Williams down the street is an officer, know Mr. Williams, you now know that all cops ain't bad, because
correct.
Mr. Williams used to coach
your dude.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he used to coach me. He bought me my first pair of cleats.
Right, exactly. So, you know Mr. Williams, you tried to holler at Mr. Williams' daughter, he'd kill you. He could have killed you.
Yeah, hold up. Now, you was my son until you started talking about being my son-in-law.
Well, listen, I could talk to you for hours, man. I go ahead. What?
Well, before we go, I wanted to bring up Christmas time. I know that's mm-hmm. a special time for everybody, of course, but I know it's important for you, too.
Well, I'm going to make him stay, because I'm going to take this break
and
play these commercials, and then we're going to come back and talk about Christmas. Because he has this thing where, honestly, I got off the tower and ran to his thing, and I was like, yo, it was like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Yeah.
It was crazy. So we have
to
talk about that.
We're doing it differently this year, though. Metropolitan Ministries.
Okay. Well,
it's bigger.
We're going to talk about that in a second. Wait, we got Titus O'Neil in the building. The book is called There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid. I want everybody to go cop one. Cop two. Cop one for you and cop another one for a gift. All right? We got it coming back. It is your freak show. We are in here with Titus O'Neil, WWE superstar and author of the new book, There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid. He's put us up on a lot of game, and a lot of the texts that are coming in are just like, oh, wow, I haven't gotten out of my car because he is telling the truth.
Don't get fired now.
You can't move in with it.
Well, it's refreshing to sit back and listen to somebody with a certain background and be so successful, but also give back to the community as much as you do. So I can understand why people are just sitting in the car, like, just in awe of everything that you do.
It's dope, too, because the Christmas thing, honestly, I had never been there. I like finding out, like I told him, I didn't know his story until he told it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've dove in and kind of like, man, this is crazy. Like, this is just a really good dude. I just liked him because my man Greedo said, man, he's a good dude. So, but I find out there's so much, like, meat behind it.
Yeah.
And now that I've experienced the Christmas thing, I'm like, I can't not go. Because I went just as a visitor. I didn't go to do nothing. I wasn't asked to do nothing. I just came and I'm socialed out. Hey, he's down here.
That's nice.
But, like, you helped a boatload of people.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it was parking like the game.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my car, like, socialing. Hey, I'm in ready to go out here with Titus. And people are walking by me. And I'm sitting there for a while. And they walk by me with stuff. And I'm like, wait, this is just, what? What? They walking away with, like, stuff. And you had, like, Yolanda Adams there. And you had Designer there. Wow. And, you know, like, I mean, it was incredible. Like, I mean, you said it's changing this year. What's changing?
Yeah. So, I actually want to not focus on that one day.
Okay.
So I partnered with Metropolitan Ministries, and our goal is to reach 30,000 families. Because people are always like, hey, when you going to do it over here in Pinellas? Hey,
right,
when you
going
to do it over here in Pasco?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We're going to partner with Metropolitan Ministries. We're going to do it in all places.
Wow.
And you want to touch 30,000?
30,000 families.
Families.
Families, not people. Families.
Family.
So it'll equate to about over 100,000, because the typical family is,
right,
you know, 3 to 4 people. And
So
we have a 36,000 square foot tent off of Rome Avenue that we're going to, we started registering families November 1st. And this is not just for Christmas. We're trying to impact them through Thanksgiving as well.
Uh-huh.
And so this makes it a lot easier for me. Obviously, I've been partnered with Metropolitan Ministries for a couple of years now on various things, the food fight, and with their culinary program Inside the Box. And so this takes a lot of stress off of me of trying to figure out how am I going to give away 20,000 gifts in one day at the football stadium and then give away four cars and make sure I got. But so we're going to have the holiday tent. Mm-hmm. And then on December 21st, because I've been doing a lot of extensive work in the SLI community, we've completely redone that whole area of school, et cetera. We're building out a track and a field. We got a turf field coming. Wow. So basically, I've been here since 04 in Tampa, and I went to my first Gasparilla parade last year.
What?
As a guest of Chad, got it right on his big float and stuff like that and get off. And I'm like, man, this is cool. As cool as hell. But it was on Bayshore, and I'm like, man, one day, maybe we can do that in the hood.
Right.
And so we're going to have a Joy of Giving parade where we're going to, we'll start it off small, but it'll be in that Slack area community, start like right behind Foster Elementary, mm-hmm. and do a parade that leads right into Sly Middle School track area.
Yeah.
And I'll give I'm going to serve 500 families there. Mm. Then those families will come from Sly, Foster area schools.
Right.
And just have a more intimate setting there, but have that parade, leading right into. So it's basically, and, like I say, people that know me know, like, I want everybody. It's not a Christmas event. It is a holiday event.
Right,
because everybody celebrates holidays differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you want everybody in inclusion.
About Christ for some. Some don't believe in Christ, which is fine with me. Some believe in Allah, last year we had, those from the Indian community and Muslim community celebrating at Joy Giving. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed in my life. Mm. We got young women, Muslim women out here dancing and celebrating culture, which is what I want. I want culture.
Right.
I want culture from all walks of life. But we'll have this parade leading in, be able to service 500 families there with the help of Metropolitan Ministries. And anybody that wants to, we have drop-off locations and et cetera for gifts and stuff like that and donations. Go to metroman.org, or you can go to my bullardfamilyfoundation.org page and make a donation, or find out where the drop-off locations are, and then also find out how you can sign up families in need. Families that are in need can sign up for assistance, and if we can help them, we will. We can't help it. My pastor, Pastor Poe, before he passed away, used to say we can't help everybody, but we can help a lot of somebodies.
And yeah.
That's my goal every day, is to help somebody.
It's an incredible thing, man. I mean, like I said, I like.
I'm coming to your tower, too.
You are? How fantastic.
I love seeing first, man.
It's like, a lot of food up there.
I'll definitely feed you.
I can see that. I see you like to eat, but I know we're going to eat good.
We're going to eat. If I'm anywhere for 8 days, there's going to be some food.
Yes.
It's good to see this and for people to hear this, because you do so much and don't necessarily, you don't promote. And you're not supposed to.
No.
People who do it for the right reasons don't necessarily do it for the spotlight. And so for people to hear these things being talked about, or things that, you don't promote yourself, your good is good spoken. Like,
yeah,
they always say,
I feel
sure
like
good
this.
Is just good
so,
spoken.
If you promote so much stuff that you do, then people are going to become disinterested, and they're like, now, is this guy doing this for him, or is he doing this for people?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so for me, and then also, too, on the flip side of it, I've been opened up to a whole lot of, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Hey, man, can you do this? Can you do that?
I was emailing you to discuss.
And yeah. I was wondering. We have this program.
God put it on my heart to reach out to you.
Yeah. God always landed on somebody's heart. So, but, you know, one of the things that I have started doing, and we talked about this off air, is that I started going to mental health counseling. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I discovered in mental health counseling, my counselor said, like, you know, if you're a multi-billionaire and you can erase one problem and you spend all your money and erase that one problem, whether it be cancer or homelessness or whatever, would the world still have problems? And when he, and the answer is absolutely yes, absolutely. It would. So no matter how much you do, there's all, you can't solve
everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. So you need to learn how to say no and not feel guilty about saying no.
It's so hard, though.
It is so hard.
Man.
But boy, I got a book now.
Yeah.
I got a book now that's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. And it's a real book.
That's the real
book. It's a real book.
The subtle art of not giving an F.
Yeah. It was. It says right. The word, but. Yeah.
Is it hard for you to say no? Because you get.
It, not now.
No. Not now. Good. Yeah.
I used to be. I used to feel bad too,
and
man.
Burdened,
you hear like, so many stories and then you see, like, you've been in certain situations and it's like, man, all right, here, man.
And it goes back to how you were when you first came up.
Yeah.
Because people helped you. And so you're like, I can help.
Yeah.
And you
But then you realize, like,
you have a life too.
What does it know? Like, what does it know from Titus O'Neil's song? Like, is it nope? No way.
Well, now, I mean, I have some couth.
Okay.
And in some cases, I'm like, F no.
I was online at the Joy of Giving last year, and I was like, yo, you ain't heard a communication until you hear Titus O'Neil.
Because
it was funny. Like, you know, we do Wild Splash, and like people are like, when they take a picture?
Yeah.
And then they can't get their phone working.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, no problem, no rush.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, these people wasn't in, had their phone ready. He was like, how y'all gonna have me come over here and take a picture?
Yeah.
You ain't even got your phone ready.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm coming your way. You better get it ready.
Yeah. Well, it's like this. So you're doing Wild Splash, right?
Yeah.
But you got so many people like around you, and you got the artist.
Yeah.
So everybody really want to see the artist, but you cool. You're an artist. You got a platform.
Yeah.
Bro, this is my event that I'm running.
Yeah.
I ain't got time.
And I'm the celebrity.
Yeah.
And I got a family.
And I walk everybody through.
And I got all this responsibility of like, man, like, hey, man, you realize there's like 30-some thousand people out here.
Ooh. All watching you.
All watching me. But also, too, I'm like, man, nobody better not get hurt. Nobody better.
Right.
I wish you would start fighting.
Right.
I wish you would start fighting out here. I will have your ass locked up immediately. Steal something if you want to. You'll be under the jail.
Yeah, it was iPods everywhere.
Yeah.
iPads, computers,
everything.
Bikes, everything.
No worries. So, and I say this all the time. People know how to act when the culture is like, all right, because we got 30-something thousand people out at the stadium. No incidents.
Mm-hmm. None.
To a little hole-in-the-wall bar.
Three people got shot.
I'm like, man, change y'all. That's why I don't even go out no more.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't pay. You could not pay me to go to a club.
Yeah, because you know. That,
yeah, right? you know y'all ain't going to have to do, hey, you are the wrestler. That dumb fake, ain't it? Yeah, it is. Let me slam your ass through this table real quick.
Hey, man, I want to make sure that everybody understands. What's the foundation page again?
It's Bullard Family Foundation.
BullardFamilyFoundation.org.
And you can always go to MetroMen.org as well, especially for the holiday tent, and find out the drop-off locations. We got several drop-off locations in Pasco, Pinellas. We got the support of the sheriffs in all three counties and law enforcement agencies, police departments, et cetera. We got a lot of support. And we obviously, you know, with a goal of reaching 30,000 families, we need all the help that we can get. And, you know, this is really about making transformational change and doing it with people that have been, I mean, Metropolitan Ministries has been doing this for 40 plus years now.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, we just sprouted up and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we gonna do this.
Yeah, you're not brand new.
We ain't brand new.
We have been working towards this.
Yeah.
I mean, and make sure you write down this book. Is there's
no such thing as a bad kid. Yeah. And he, you know what? Orlando has a autographed copy
of
here.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you.
And you know what I'll even do, too, for your sponsors, the first 10 sponsors of your, you know, the you've been up there 8 days. So,
yeah, of the toy drive.
Yeah, the 8 days. So whoever the food sponsors are, I'll sign a book to them.
Oh, that's nice
of
man.
You.
Well,
that's very awesome, sweet. Man. Thank you.
He wants some food, though.
Yeah, I want some food, though. Just make sure in the process of that they give me a little, you know, $20 gift card.
Yeah,
you know,
something. Hook a little something up for me.
The book, dude, cost a little something, you know.
Hey, Titus, thank you so much for coming in here this morning with us, man. This has been incredible. It's been the first time, and I hope it ain't the last.
It definitely won't be. Yeah, definitely
won't be. And kick it with us. So, I mean, this is dope. Go pick up the book and make sure you support this man because he is out here doing things for a major way for the community, man. Titus O'Neal, everybody.
Titus.
That's what's up, man. We're riding out. It's your freak show. Good morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.